Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and still at the National Convention, which is awesome because I have access to so many people. And I am here with Fred Woodley of the Delivering Solidarity podcast. We're going to get to him in just a second. First, I want to tell you something super cool that happened while I was setting up the microphone, and we're at this little table that really looks like a little broadcast table. And a guy comes walking by. He's from Minneapolis. He's vice president in Minneapolis. And he says, "Hey, what podcast are you setting up for?" And then he holds out his phone and he's listening to Classes of Mail as he was walking by. It was awesome. And then Fred comes walking up and the guy listens to Delivering Solidarity. And then Fred wound up having a conversation with the guy for a while. And that's the magic that happens at the convention. So with no further ado, Fred Woodley.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Alan. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Tell a little bit, just talk a little briefly about like what you and the guy from Minnesota talked about.
We were basically just talking about the differences in our own installations of how grievances are handled between 613 and Code 84 time. Because the difference is he is a full-time officer, and in my branch, I currently operate as a part-time president.
Right. All right, well, we're going to get into that because I know I have some questions prepared for you. So that's one of the cool things about the convention. Like, as I understand it, this is my first convention, and generally, you mentioned this on your episode, that the podcasts the conventions are usually kind of sedate, and there's not a lot of conflict and not a lot of action.
In my experience, this is my third national convention. I would have been to four of them if we would have had one the year of COVID.
Oh, right.
But the audience basically acts like sheep, and kind of whatever the executive council would recommend, they just immediately approve it, and there's not a lot of drama. And if people would go to the microphone to speak out against something the officers were doing, they're immediately booed, and it was just over.
Yeah, it is definitely not that way this year.
No.
There is a pretty even split in the audience, and yeah, it's been fascinating. All right, so Fred, for those of you who don't listen to his podcast, and you absolutely should, Delivering Solidarity, Fred is the president of the Youngstown, Ohio branch. What is the branch number?
385.
The Fighting 385th, and the host of Delivering Solidarity. So tell me, why'd you start your podcast?
Well, in my branch, because I'm from an AO, which is an associate office, we're not the main installation of the branch, which was Youngstown, Ohio. I'm from Warren, Ohio. I had an uphill battle with the actual campaigning.
Okay.
And I was a current branch officer at the time of deciding to run for president. And I knew right away I was going to have to appeal to a broader audience in a way that our branch wasn't already doing if I wanted to have any hope at getting elected.
That makes sense.
And one of the things I wanted to do was embrace technology. And that's something I've actually been actively working on the entire time I've been in my branch. I'm the relay editor, which is our branch newsletter. Changed the way we were doing the relay, made it into a much more digital format, because the way we used to do our newsletter, we would actually take these typed pages that were going to be the articles and scan them into a copier, and we'd have to send all these loose papers to the printer. Now it's an actual PDF that I'm just emailing over, and it's a lot more streamlined, cleaner looking. The final product turns out great.
And I bet that has not hurt readership. If anything, probably more people read it because it's easier access.
It's easier to read. It's more uniformed because everybody would do their own individual page, so nothing would look the same.
Right.
And it's cheaper for the branch, too, because we're preparing it for the printer instead of them having to do all this work to turn these loose pages into a newsletter that's coherent.
There you go. What about – oh, I misunderstood. I actually thought that you were saying that you email that PDF to your members.
No, because we still have to support letter carriers' jobs in the Postal Service.
Look at that, thinking like a president.
We're still mailing it, but what we used to do is it was a lot more of a manual process. We had a bulk permit, of course, but it was more expensive for us because the extent of it would be we'd get this together after the printer gave it to us, we'd fold it in half, put the little sticker tabs on there, and then drop it off at the post office.
I gotcha.
Now we're leaning into technology where we're using the Intelligent Mail small business tool, and everything's pre-barcoded, and we're saving a ton of money on postage now too, and just the technological embrace that comes with being from a younger generation than the old guard that were there before me.
Right. So this question started, and then we got sidetracked with why you started the podcast. So the podcast, just to be clear, was to reach out to people who you might not have otherwise had access to.
Yes, and that takes me back to when I was actually campaigning. I did a lot of that on YouTube. I was putting out YouTube videos of what I wanted to do if I were lucky enough and fortunate enough to be elected by the membership to serve them as the president.
That's the difficulty of coming in against an incumbent, is the incumbent already has access to all the members. The people know their name, and they can get their message out. Even if they can't campaign, they still can go to the stations and see people. Go ahead.
Now, I will say, in my particular case, I wasn't facing an incumbent because our branch president had decided to retire.
Okay.
But what I was facing was an opponent that was from Youngstown, which is the biggest installation in the branch.
Right.
So I had to be able to reach out to Youngstown carriers, who he readily had access to because he's there on the workroom floor.
That makes sense.
So I used the internet to
do that.
Right,
the new media, right. And what's great about that is people can hear your message directly out of your own mouth and know what you're all about.
And on YouTube, they were able to put my face to the name and know what I look like and hear me speak.
Right.
And that brought me to the things I was telling them on the YouTube videos, where one of my intentions originally was I wanted to start a Branch 385 podcast.
Right.
And the original concept for Delivering Solidarity was that it was going to be an official NALC Branch 385 podcast.
Okay.
But then I thought about it, and they... amount of animosity I was facing after I got elected, because just slightly less than half the membership didn't want me there, because okay. I only won the election by 3 votes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was razor thin, but it was amazing to still win because I'm not from that big installation that
right.
makes up probably more than half of the branch.
Proof positive that your vote matters. 3 votes. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So you were going to do an official podcast.
I was going to do an official podcast, and I won't get into the details, but after I got elected, it was just everything was a problem, so to speak.
Right.
Because our union meetings are also in Youngstown, so I'm surrounded by the majority of the people that didn't vote for me.
Right.
Because people don't like to travel to union meetings.
That is true.
And that was another reason why I wanted to start an official podcast, is because I've been hearing the entire time I worked for the branch that people don't want to drive to Youngstown for a union meeting. So I wanted to find a way to bring the union meeting, or at least parts of it, because, you know, certain things we talk about, we don't want management overhearing at a union
sure.
meeting. But I wanted to bring the stuff that I could talk about to the membership.
Right.
And that was the original concept, is I wanted to do an official podcast. But then after seeing the animosity I was getting, I decided I was going to do the unofficial Branch 385 podcast.
That makes sense. And go ahead.
Then that became the next problem. Then they're like, we don't want Branch 385 affiliated with this at all. So, okay. So then I rebranded and I was Delivering Solidarity.
Right.
And now I'm reaching out to the NALC overall.
Right.
Because the goal of the podcast was to inform members. And I can still talk about my local branch happenings on the podcast and still deliver a bigger message to the whole audience that wants to listen.
Definitely. And you've been doing that. So speaking of the rebranding, you have theme music for your podcast, and you have a lovely voiceover that gives your disclaimer. How did that come to be?
I have a background in podcasting,
okay.
So I knew right away if I was going to do a podcast that I needed to have an intro and an outro at a bare minimum. And I was fortunate enough that some of my friends that supported my endeavor donated some quality voice work to me.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that is definitely quality voice work. That sounds great. All right. So your podcast is aimed, a lot like mine, at reaching people where they are and making sure that even if you can't get to the meetings, even if, you know, for me, it's like even if you're not a big reader, I still want you to have this information. We owe that to our union brothers and sisters that if we have ways to help them, we're going to. So that brings up service in general and your decision to run for president. You were already, what was the position you held when you decided to run?
I was the recording secretary, which in our branch is the third in command officer position.
Okay, so you are already in union leadership. What was the thought process with making that jump to president?
I had no ambitions to be the branch president. I never set out to do that.
Okay.
But when it came time for nominations to get close, and I started hearing who was going to be running for president, and don't get me wrong, I have nothing against the opponent that ran against me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a simple matter of fact that his only experience was being an informal steward.
Okay.
I had experience at the higher level of the branch, and my personal philosophy is if you're going to be the branch president,
right.
you need to be the qualified guy that everybody else is coming to ask questions.
Right. Yeah, on that note, that's why I'm not running for president, because I don't have that level of experience. You know, I'm trying to stick to what I'm good at, which is why I chose the vice president position that I chose to run for. All right, so So that's why you decide to run for president.
It was just a matter of I had experience at every level of the grievance procedure. While I've never advocated an arbitration, I've been in plenty of STAs. I know how the process works. And I actually wanted to get elected to help the guy that was running against me get to the point where one day he might be qualified to be the president.
Right.
I wanted to give him the knowledge and experience that he needed to have. Because I don't think that the president should be learning how to do formal A's while they're the president.
Yep. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That is absolutely reasonable. So speaking of formal A's and grievances, how do you handle grievances that are in your AOs?
For the AOs, I have a great team of formal A guys now.
Yep.
When I first got elected, I had a handful. Mm-hmm. And I have since worked with them one-on-one, taught a bunch of them how to do formal A's, got them to the point where they're winning their formal A's. And then now I'm happy that I can delegate, delegation as president, a lot of the formal A's from the AOs to these formal A reps.
Okay.
And Youngstown, thankfully, has been mostly handled by my vice president because he is a Youngstown carrier. He can be on 613 time to do the big installation.
Right.
I have a couple other Youngstown formal A reps that are doing phenomenal work. But I help out the AOs when needed. And Warren, where I work, I do all the formal A's for Warren.
Okay. You had mentioned that before we started that you are trying to get your stewards in those AOs trained up to be their own formal A's.
Yes, that's the overall goal, because if anybody doesn't know, the difference between 613 time and Code 84, which I had a whole episode of my podcast about this.
Right, but it's worth talking about now.
The Cliff Notes version is 613 time is paid stewards time on the clock of the Postal Service. And Code 84 is union official leave, where you're released from the Postal Service and then you get paid by the branch or the business agent's office or national, depending on what you're doing for the union. And the overall goal is you want as much of the grievance handling work to be on the Postal Service's clock as possible.
That's a good call. And to that point, your bylaws allow you to either be a full-time or part-time union officer as president, and you chose to stay part-time.
Yes, our standing bylaws say it is at the discretion of the president whether he's part-time or full-time.
Right. And being part-time, that means you can still charge 613 time to the post office.
Yeah, it's multifaceted, though. Because I could still be on their clock, which needs to happen, because Warren's our second biggest installation. And we get a huge grievance volume out of Warren, too. But the other facet of that is that I personally, my philosophy is I can't represent city letter carriers accurately if I'm not doing the job that the city carriers do from day to day.
You hear that, guys? A president who wants to actually be out there delivering the mail so that he knows what we all go through. That, man, that is the right idea. And so you do still deliver your rep.
I deliver 4 hours for the Postal Service, and then I get released and go to the union office on those days.
All right, so you spend 4 hours delivering mail, and then 4 hours delivering solidarity.
so to speak.
Yeah,
although, don't get confused, anybody. Delivering solidarity is done on my free time.
Yes. After work hours. Let's get the disclaimer in there. I know you're good with the disclaimers.
So I can see that being at a meeting. He just said that he spends 4 hours...
So you mentioned you have new stewards like out in these AOs. What do you do when somebody steps up and says they want to be a steward? How do you handle getting them trained up?
There hasn't been a single person yet that has said that I want to step up and be a steward that I haven't found work for them and either spent time personally training them or arranged one-on-one time to train them.
That's excellent.
And I also hosted a stewards training. I believe it was the first time our branch has done one in probably 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
And I'm planning on doing another one because everybody let me know they couldn't make the first one. I want to do a makeup so that everybody's getting trained.
That's fantastic. And that training helps you as well. It helps everybody. Obviously, the steward getting that training becomes more effective at filing grievances. It helps the carriers who they serve because now they're a more effective servant to their carriers. But it also helps you as president because it reduces your workload. The more competent they are, the less of that work has to fall on you.
See, even for the stewards training, I took a different approach because I'm sure as you see interacting with all these branches, there's like weird politics that come into play even at the branch level.
It's true.
Where typically, once the torch gets passed, if it's not the person that was picked to be in that position, like the old guard just fades away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I did when it came time to arrange stewards training, I took an approach of I'm available all the time to help the stewards. I wanted to bring our former vice president in to work with the stewards. So I actually went two generations back
Wow.
and grabbed that vice president and got him to come in because he's a great guy. His name's Dave Ditchie. I'm going to try to get him on my podcast at one point. He is an amazing arbitration advocate for Region 11.
Excellent.
He goes all over the place. But I asked him to come in as a guest and train my stewards because they have me available all the time, but I could arrange a day for him to come in and work with them and share some of the knowledge that he has from all the years he spent doing union work.
And old-timers like talking to young people. You know, he's probably sitting in his rocking chair all lonely and wants to come in and just have somebody listen to him for a while.
No, it's funny because Mr. Ditchie is very modest, and I think the first thing he said during the training is, I don't know nothing about nothing, and I can prove it, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Right. That is so often the case, with people who really have that knowledge. All right, so the last thing I want to talk about is, does Youngstown have CCAs?
Youngstown as the installation or our branch overall?
Well, yeah, your branch, I should say, 385.
Okay, yes, we do have CCAs. They're in Youngstown and throughout the branch.
Yeah.
Youngstown CCAs, there's a lot of them. Because Youngstown's our biggest installation. Youngstown seems to be the only one right now that is pretty near staffing for CCAs.
All right.
Out in Warren, I think we're supposed to have around 15, and right now we have 3.
Yeah, it's tough to get them hired. You know, obviously the pay is not attractive at the moment. That's something that we're still waiting on that new contract. But don't worry, Fred, it's moments away. It's days away. It'll be here any minute.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens today.
That's true, yeah. So we're recording this on Wednesday at the National Convention. Don't let me get away from talking about CCAs. But we're recording this on Wednesday at the National Convention in the morning before the charges are supposed to be listened to against Renfro, or the appeal, I should say, will be heard today by the body of the delegates. And it's going to be a very interesting day.
Yeah, and as you know from listening to my show, I take more of a neutral approach to
everything.
Yeah,
I'm not telling you to take a position on how you want it to go.
And I will say, just as somebody, an NALC member that's been to 3 of these so far, this entire convention has just been a unique experience. And I'm curious and looking forward to seeing how this proceeds because there's no precedent for me to compare this to.
We live in interesting times, as they say. All right, so getting back to your CCAs, how it's hard to get them hired because the pay is not great, not anymore. How are they doing? You know, how do they get treated? It's hard to say all. Well, go ahead.
Because we have 26 different installations in Branch 385, your mileage varies with that.
Absolutely.
In certain installations, they get treated, like crap. And they call the union, and then we go out there and we deal with whatever problems they're facing.
All right, that's good.
In Warren, less so, because they're on the workroom floor with the branch president.
Ah, there you go.
And they know if they say something or do something wrong to that CCA, they're just going to walk across the floor, and then I'm going to be in, we have this office we call the fishbowl, because there's a big glass wall.
Okay.
And so the supervisor is going to be in the fishbowl with me if they're treating those CCAs
that's cool. So with the fishbowl, they can actually see you in there giving the business to the supervisor.
Yes, and the carriers see that a lot.
That's awesome. And what I love about that, and I like this about Fred, is that the CCAs know they can come to you and that you're going to take up for them.
They can come to me. They see me there every day in uniform on the workroom floor with them.
It's beautiful.
They have a problem. They all have my phone number. They could walk over. I condition everybody. If you need to talk to your steward, go to the supervisor, say, hey, I need time with my steward.
Right.
We have a beautiful thing called the steward's release policy in Warren. It says 99% of the time, upon request, a steward will be released to union time.
That's
with
cool.
No less than a 2-hour delay.
Wow. That's nice.
Well, no more than a 2-hour
delay. A 2-hour delay. Right. That's a good policy. So, in general, how's the turnover among CCAs in your branch?
Again, it depends on the installation we're talking about.
Just give me your general impressions, or just how it's going, however you want to break it down.
It used to be a really high turnover rate, but lately the Postal Service has been treating them like gold.
Because they need those bodies.
One thing that I was fortunate about is Youngstown is the only installation in my branch that's under a different PUM.
Okay.
Every other installation in my branch answers to the South PUM.
Okay. It's getting a little noisy here, so class is just let out. So, all right, let's leave it at this. We know that Fred is going to take up for his CCAs because that's the kind of guy he is. He's going to reach out to actually, things are kind of filtering through. I have no idea how well people can hear what we're saying right now. I know the mic is directional, so let's just keep going.
It doesn't seem like it's spiking any more than it was before.
Yeah, all right, let's just keep going. So anyway, you got this Poom.
Okay, so I went and met with the South Poom because we were having a CCA retention problem, and it necessarily wasn't that the CCAs were quitting. It was that the post office seemed to be finding stupid reasons to fire them in their 90 right. days. Now, in our branch, we're in a unique position. We have an excellent EEO coordinator, too. And we've been very fortunate where we have gotten a lot of CCAs or jobs back when they've been terminated.
Nice.
So I met with the South Poom, and we actually were able to strike up a deal of sorts where when a CCA would be let go in their 90 days, we would move them to another installation and give them a second opportunity with another 90-day window. And a lot of them, once they got moved to a second place, they flourished, and then they were able to get their probationary period in, and we kept them.
You know, that's a really good idea. I like that a lot. I've had CCAs approach me who are struggling at my station and ask, can I just go to another station? It seems like the supervisor just doesn't like me. And sometimes that's true. You know, there are these conflicts. I like that. That's a really good idea because you want to do – the post office makes an investment in the people it hires, and it costs money to onboard a new employee. And to actively be trying to get rid of them in the first 90 days is kind of madness. Like, you should be actively trying to turn this person into a valuable employee in those first 90 days. So I really like that strategy for retention.
Yeah, and the only hurdle we had was because Youngstown wasn't in the Poom group, we would have to go get permission from the postmaster of Youngstown to move them into the South Poom group. But everywhere else, they could just move freely because they had the same Poom.
And this also speaks to the value of just communicating with management. And if you have this problem, maybe there's actually a cooperative way that it can be addressed, which is why you have like the local labor management meetings and, you know, why you're supposed to have a working relationship with your supervisors and things like that. Sounds like you're doing a good job there, Fred.
I have very good grievance handlers in Branch 385, but if I can resolve something by sitting down at the table and not compromising any of our contractual rights, then I'm happy to do that.
Well, Fred, thank you very much for coming on the Classes of Mail podcast. It has been awesome to get to meet you and to see all the people who listen to our podcast and care about this union and care about our brothers and sisters. Fred, great job, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, and good luck in your upcoming branch election, too.
Ah, thank you, sir.